University Broadcast Studio. It's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
So I was having a conversation last night with a millennial. Good patriot. Conservative fella. Went to public university and, well, the politics got all messed up in the head. It's really kind of sad. And unfortunately, there are a lot of you who have raised up good, God-fearing, patriotic young people. You send them off to college and they come back as leftist loons, little pajama boy snowflakes. Your daughter's running around wearing Mexican man shoes, burning her bra. Terrible story. I apologize for the visual. But there's something going on at the university campus level where people are being taught not just to hate America, but to hate white people. And this has been a subject that has been very unpopular to talk about on cable television. As a matter of fact, you're not allowed to talk about this on cable television, even the conservative cable television network. And a lot of conservative talk radio hosts don't want to talk about it either. But we're going to talk about it because we've got to talk about it. We've got to talk about these issues. Now, look, just before the break, I told you about what they're teaching people over at the National Museum of African American History and Culture, where they're telling people to be aware of signs of whiteness. And the idea of putting in a hard day's work, according to the National Museum of African American History, is now a white concept. The idea of a nuclear family is a white concept. The idea of respect for authority is now a white concept. This is according to the teachings of the African American History and Culture Museum. What do you think this is going to do to kids around the country who read this nonsense, who read this garbage? This is coming from USA Today. Just a few moments ago, the city council in Asheville, North Carolina, has become the first to approve reparations for black residents. The Asheville City Council has now apologized for the city's role in slavery, discrimination, and the denial of basic liberties to black residents. They voted to provide reparations to them and their descendants. It was a unanimous vote. The unanimously passed resolution does not mandate direct payments. Instead, it will make investments in areas where residents face disparities. Over in San Francisco, California, the white director of the museum there, now out of a job, forced out of his job. And why is that? Because he took issue with those who wanted to remove statues and paintings that were created by white artists. He said doing something like that, his name is Gary Garrels. Gary Garrels told the rampaging mob that you cannot get rid of the white artist because that would be a form of discrimination. And as a result of that, he was given the heave-ho. Or the heave-ho. I want to go to the Liberty University newsmaker line. A good friend of this program, he fills in for me on a regular basis. The one and only former great congressman from Arizona, J.D. Hayworth. Congressman, always good hanging out with you, sir.
Todd, you honor me with the chance to join you again as a guest, as you've honored me in days past when I've had the chance to guest host for you. Thanks again for this opportunity.
Absolutely. And you know, I listen to you when you fill in for me. Normally, I'm having to run an errand or do something that, you know, precludes me from being in the studio. And Congressman, I got to tell you, I think you do a better job of the show than the actual host of this program does. Great job.
Well, we will have to save that for the audition reel, Todd, but I appreciate that.
So,
well, the fact is, I was a broadcaster before I went to Congress, and now post-Congress, I'm back to broadcasting, and there is an alignment between public policy and public action and public discussion, and it's in that spirit I join you today.
Well, we have a lot to talk about here. You sent me an item just a little bit before the show started today, a situation developing at the University of Arizona, the Honors College. I want you to tell our listeners what they're telling the young people there at the U of A.
Well, this comes from the leadership of the Honors College. Dr. Terry Hunt, the dean, Dr. John Pollard, the associate dean of academic affairs and curricular innovation, Dr. Karna Walter, the assistant dean for student engagement, and Dr. Cherie Meeks, the assistant dean for programs, diversity, and inclusion. Now, it's that last heading that I find very interesting, because this is the letter that went forth from these administrators at the Honors College at the University of Arizona at Tucson. What was most disturbing to me in this open letter, this message to Honors College, Honors students, is the second sentence. This country is built on a foundation of systemic racism, discrimination, and white supremacy. Then the very next sentence states the collective goal to, quote, dismantle systems that perpetuate racism, discrimination, and white supremacy. Now, when you adopt this as your reality, and understand this is much more about the sloganeering of the streets and community agitators than anything based in history. And even if you want to talk about our history, even if we talk about our founders and what Catherine Drinker Bowen wrote in her great book about the Constitutional Convention, the miracle at Philadelphia, we understand that man is imperfect. We understand that we're all sinners. But to somehow state that the next collective goal is to dismantle systems that perpetuate all these alleged foundational aspirations, which in this jaundiced view is systemic racism, discrimination, and white supremacy, what does that mean to dismantle, Todd? Does that mean our society, our government, our churches and other houses of worship? What does this dismantlement mean? And you know, the irony, Todd, is that when you check out the Honors College website at the University of Arizona and you take a look at their mission statement, listen to the lead sentence. At the Arizona Honors College, we commit and aspire to create and foster a diverse and inclusive climate where scholars of all backgrounds are welcome, safe, and valued. Now just wait a minute here. I think we better add an amendment. Unless you're conservative and a traditionalist, regardless of race, color, and creed, and then we will consider you intolerant because of another statement that appears in this letter to Honors students. The Coalition of Black Students and Allies at the University of Arizona states the following, and this was incorporated into the letter to Honors students. Quote, a letter that lacks compassion is not good enough. An Instagram post that lacks compassion is not good enough. Empty words and promises are not good enough. Avoidance and silence, absolutely disrespectful and not good enough. Gee, it seems as if diversity and inclusion stops when you fail to accept the definition of terms, which is, if you are a traditionalist, if you are a conservative, if you are Caucasian, and you say that all men's lives matter, and you say that we are all fallen, and you say that a system of laws, the foundational document of our republic, constitutes a system of laws rather than a system of men, then you must be someone lacking compassion. You must be a white supremacist, and we will define opposing arguments as lacking compassion, and therefore you will be shut up and thrown out.
Now, J.D. Hayworth,
relegated to the role of non-person.
Now, J.D. Hayworth, let me jump in here, Because what you are telling me, it's very similar to something we just talked about in the last segment of this program. Byron York has shared a pamphlet that's being produced by the National Museum of African American History. And the whole point of this is to alert people to signs of whiteness and white culture. And they mention a lot of the things you just talked about, this idea of self-reliance and picking yourself up by the bootstraps. That's a sign of whiteness. A Protestant work ethic, they say that's a sign of whiteness. The idea that Christianity is the norm, and that that if you're on time for an assignment, that makes you that's a sign of whiteness. If you enjoy, and they talk about aesthetics of whiteness. A woman's beauty is based on being blonde and thin, a Barbie. A man's attractiveness is based on economic status, power, and intellect. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. If you speak the king's English, that's a sign of whiteness. J.D., it's almost as if there is some sort of a concerted effort here to attack the very foundations of who we are as Americans.
And it is that attempt. And what is terrifying, you know, so often we compare it to George Orwell's 1984. Well, what came to mind this morning, Todd, was his other great work, Animal Farm. All animals are created equal, but some animals are more equal than others. And this is the problem with this kind of academic fascism that takes up a definition of diversity and inclusion when, in fact, there are none. And there is none. And I got to take you back. And I guess demographically now you got to call me an active senior. But don't worry. I don't shout at kids in the neighborhood, "Hey, kids, get off my lawn," in part because I live in the desert. There's no lawn here. But 40 years ago when I was student body president at North Carolina State, I had a member of the faculty senate, an African-American professor, greet me one day and tell me that because I was born white, I was born racist. And those in the African-American community suffered from no such fault of that type. And I dismissed it with a joke saying, "Well, professor, perhaps you can write the sequel to I'm Okay, You're Okay, the pop psychology bestseller of that time. Maybe your new book can be written, I'm Okay, You're Not." And so now we are seeing, four decades later, the inculcation started back during my days in college, that if you are Caucasian, if you embrace traditional views, therefore you are born racist. And now you see this with this nutty talk that you have to apologize for whiteness, that everything is white privilege. And here is the sad thing. Because one of the greatest experiences I had, you know, Lou Holtz recruited me as right tackle. I ended up left out. I wasn't much of an athlete. But my teammates of North Carolina State, white, black, Native American, Asian, it made no difference. We wore the red and white, not as a condition of whiteness, but as a display of our school colors and solidarity as a team that transcended race, that transcended ethnicity, people coming together to strive for a common goal. And Todd, we look at the very motto of our government from the Latin, E pluribus unum, out of many, one, not one ideology, but one government respecting the right and the supremacy of law, not of race, not of color, not of creed, not of political persuasion. And yes, our founders said to form a more perfect union, understanding that was aspirational. But you don't find perfection by trying to redefine terms and claiming
that
diversity is exclusion.
J.D., we're going to have to leave it there. Powerful stuff, and we'd love to get you back on to keep talking about this. We are heading into a very dangerous time in American history, and we need voices like yours out there speaking truth to the culture. So thanks for sending this to us, and thanks for taking time to come on the show today.
Todd, appreciate it. We'll keep an eye on it and update you accordingly.
All right. J.D. Hayworth, ace reporter. He's kind of like our Walter Cronkite. Great American patriot out there. Remember what I told you. And, well, we got to take a break. I will remind you what I told you after the break. 844-747-8868. What do you think is going on here? Something nefarious? 844-747-8868. We'll be right back.
America's only fair and balanced talk radio host, Todd Starnes.
Go through this list over at the National Museum of African American History, and they're real upset about all of you white folk out there. Now, let me ask you guys a question, Caleb and Avery. I think full disclosure, you guys are pretty white,
about as white as it gets.
Mm-hmm.
Avery, you're lily white.
Okay,
I mean it's just you know
I'm mayonnaise maybe. White.
You got to get out in the sun.
It's, yeah.
Get some color on you.
Sometimes when he takes his shirt off, you can see his beating heart like a newborn fish.
Okay, let's not talk about that. That's wet. TMI. TMI. Jeez. A wet fish.
Newborn fish.
Like a guppy.
Yeah, you know how sometimes you can see like their heart beating under the...
Ah.
Like with tadpoles and stuff.
Yeah, I've seen
tadpole.
Those are scary.
So let's go through this list here, guys. So if you, and this, it's a 3-page pamphlet here. They really are, I mean, they just jump right into this.
Oh, there are three pages. I only saw the first two. Mm-hmm. Wow.
So if you believe that it's, if you strive in life to be number one, if you believe there are winners and losers in life, if you believe in decision making, and if you are aggressive, That makes you white. It seems to me that makes you a success, no matter your skin color. You know, if you plan for the future, if you believe that progress is good, if you believe in delayed gratification, and by that I mean saving up money so you can buy something or saving up for your retirement, it just seems to me that you are going to be very successful in your life.
Yeah,
that's been my experience.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what,
future orientation, tomorrow will be better. That's the one. Well, I have several problems with this list, but that's like in my top five that I have problems with. Because that's just a good way. That's just a good outlook to have on life.
What concerns me, guys? What are they teaching the white children in kindergarten and first and second grade? I mean, are they going to teach them that these concepts, these ideas, make them racist or make them problematic? I mean, that's what concerns me here. Where does all of this go? What kind of an impact is this going to have on society? I mean, are we looking at literally a reversal of roles? I mean, are the civil rights of white people going to be in jeopardy down the road if we don't do something here? Don't we want to live in a country where all men are created equal? Isn't that the goal? Isn't that the idea? We'll be right back. Humidity outside right now, really warm. You know, Caleb and Avery, I normally in the commercial breaks I'll go downstairs and to walk outside just to kind of stretch my legs a little bit, and I opened up that door and I walked right back inside
and nope.
I said I'm good, don't need to stretch that.
It always hits that point here in the South, those nope days where you just open the door and go nope.
Yeah. Nah, we're good. That's it. All right, let's go to the Liberty University Newsmaker line. A good friend of this show, Reverend Sammy Rodriguez, president of the National Hispanic Christian Leadership Conference. Sammy, are you still in Sacramento?
By the grace of God, I am.
So, yes. You know, I have a story to tell. You know, I anchored the news at KFBK in Sacramento, about 18 years ago. And when I moved south, when I moved from the deep south to California, one of the selling points, Sammy, the news director said, Todd, we know you're coming from the south. And yeah, it gets, you know, it's 115, 120 degrees here, but it's a dry heat.
True story.
I got to tell you, 120 degrees, Pastor. I'm not sure why every person in Sacramento is not a church-going Christian.
If not, they should be. There it is. Yeah, it works. It works. We're living in some interesting times. So the heat right now with everything else, yes, everyone, please go to church.
My goodness. Absolutely. That's why we had summertime. That's why we had the revival services in the summertime, you know, because the pastor would say, if you think it's hot now, just wait until you don't get right with the Lord.
They'll line up your theology immediately.
Exactly. So look, Pastor, I want to ask you about the situation there in California. Governor Gavin Newsom says churches got to shut down. They originally said you guys could not have a choir. You could not sing. You guys have been holding services. So what are you going to do on Sunday?
Yeah, we have been since Pentecost Sunday. We have been, you know, and Todd, look, you know, you and I, all of us are fully committed to keeping people safe. We're not acting presumptuously. This is not some sort of super hyper faith extension of a religious faith narrative, but we don't think that we're vulnerable or anything of the sort. We want to keep people safe. So, you know, we as a church, we believe that we're essential. I'm glad that President Trump acknowledged this as essential. But hey, when our communities are fighting depression, anxiety, fear, and all the subsequent issues connected to COVID-19 or the other melees taking place in our society, who do they go to? Do you think they pick up their cell phones and call up a psychologist, psychiatrist? They actually call up their pastors. So this is critical. This is mental health. This is physical, spiritual health. So what are we going to do now? Well, there are churches that are acquiescing and that are not necessarily the word surrender would be strong, but are saying, look, if the governor issues a decree, we're going to have to adhere to it in light of the fact, Todd, that on this occasion, the governor is actually saying, by the way, this time we're going to enforce it. And here are the fines. So this time around, it's not just I hereby ban singing, which he actually used the phrase banned, which to me was pretty interesting. I ban singing. Now it's you can't have church services, and this time we're really going to enforce it. And there will be consequences, primarily financial penalties, fines, and so forth. So many of the pastors are saying, look, we're not into this. We're going to have to accommodate. At least the government, the word gracious wouldn't be adequate because it's our God-given right. So it's not like they're gracious by affirming our God-given right. But at least they're creating some space, quote unquote, where we could gather outside. So we could have services outside. If you have the facilities, you can do it outside, social distancing in place. You could continue to gather as long as it's outside, but all indoor gatherings are hereby prohibited.
I just have so many problems with all of this, Pastor. Let's just say the disease is as bad as they say it is. The COVID-19 is as bad as they say it is. And it's just as contagious. Where was this governor when you had tens of thousands of people across California marching in the streets and protesting side by side, you know, setting up these encampments? Pastor, not a single time did I hear the governor out there.
No. Todd, I tweeted that, and it went viral. You're probably aware of the tweet. Fox covered it, and I tweeted that. I said, where were you? I mean, you can't give permission. You can't give permission and do nothing. About tens of thousands marching, the vast majority without masks. Some of them were wearing masks, but the vast majority, and that's not my anecdotal reporting. That was reported across the line. The vast majority were not wearing masks. And then all of a sudden, you discriminate against the church and tell me I can't sing. So I can protest with 10,000 other people, but I can't sing with 100? Are you kidding me? So it just there's a lack of logical continuity. There is a biased, discriminatory application of the law, which nullifies the law if it's not equal and fair and blind across the board and equally applied. So indeed, there's and from the get-go, just the issue, this obsession with churches. With churches, not with Costco, not with Target, not with Sam's Club, not with the liquor store, but with churches. This fixation with churches. I don't know. Has anyone reported there was a fake, I'm not going to mention the periodical, there was an article that exacerbated on how churches may potentially be one day the place where the pandemic may break out again. Think about that article where it came out in a very recognized periodical. But it's fake news. It was proven to be fake news. Here we are. It's just outrageous to me. It's an attack on religious liberty. It would have been nice if the governor would have called some of us up, met with us, and said, hey, you guys are essential. And God forbid that I infringe on your God-given right. You know, what can we do together to mitigate, to make sure people don't get sick, you know, in your gatherings? And you know, what can we do together? Let's work. That never took place. It was top-down, totalitarian, authoritarian, big government looking at my rights and saying, Samuel Rodriguez, you have your rights, but we have the right to take away your rights. But I thought my rights were God-given. Sure, wink, wink, God-given until a pandemic breaks out. And then we, big government, we will determine whether or not those rights are no longer applicable or viable. It's a interesting day in America, to say the least.
And unfortunately, the Supreme Court ruled that the governor has that right to do what he did.
I have no idea with Judge Roberts. I have no idea. Seriously speaking, it's like I'm living in a parallel universe. I'm a Trekkie, so I'm thinking that I'm in like mirror here. I'm in a parallel universe. What is going on? And for Judge Roberts to even affirm that idea that government has the right to infringe on my God-given constitutionally protected rights because of a pandemic. So COVID-19 trumps my God-given rights. COVID-19 trumps the Constitution. COVID-19 trumps the Declaration of Independence, the Bill of Rights. That's what we're learning in California, at least.
So a pandemic. Pastor, what are you going to do? What are you going to do on Sunday?
I met with my team, and this Sunday, if people come to my church on Sunday on our campuses, we have campuses in Los Angeles and Sacramento, and when they come, am I going to have security out there saying, God forbid, you can't come in here? The governor said you can't come in here. You can't come in here. It's not going to happen. How about that? That's not going to happen. If people stay at home because they're persuaded by the governor and they're streaming this online, I have no qualms with that. We're still going to gather on Sunday evenings at 7 o'clock outside service. I'm going to continue to stream and preach live three services. I'm going to preach like I do every Sunday, 9 o'clock, 10:30, 12 o'clock, live from my auditorium in Sacramento to all of our friends and followers around the world. If people come up to our auditorium and they want to join us, we have every CDC recommendation in place, 7 feet social distancing. We do 7 because we like the number 7 better than the number 6. So we're going to do,
That's a good point.
We do hand sanitizing. We actually do temperature checks when people come into the lobby. So I'm part of the National Coronavirus Recovery Commission. So I know this thing is real, and I want to protect people. But I'm not going to turn people away. To answer your question, I'm not going to shut my church down or turn people away. I'm not going to do that.
I am concerned about where all of this goes. I mean, the way this is set up, there is no end game here. There was a report out a couple of days ago. This pandemic could go on for another 2 years. If they're successful in shutting down the churches for 2 years, at some point, everybody has to stand up.
When will the tipping point take place? When will it take place? Again, when will it take place? And it requires every single Christ follower, every single person of faith to stand up. Today, I stated this before, today's complacency is tomorrow's captivity. We are what we tolerate. We are what we tolerate. Will we permit this? And it will be egregiously impactful to the church, to the advancement of the gospel of Jesus. And this idea of, we could be online in perpetuity. Sure, good luck with that. We already have the analytics. I can tell you inside baseball, we have the analytics from the largest churches in America as it pertains to measurable engagement, not the 3 to 5 second Facebook time, but measurable engagement. We're losing engagement, my friend.
I know it.
So,
yeah, you're right.
We are.
You're right.
We're losing engagement. It's not the same thing. It is not the same thing as coming together
as a body of believers and exalting the name of Jesus, it is not the same thing.
All right. Pastor, we're going to have to leave it there. Good hearing from you, and good luck out there in California. Thanks for taking a stand.
Thank you, my friend. Many blessings.
All right. Samuel Rodriguez, friend of this president, and says he's opening up the church. They're not going to shut down on Sunday. And honestly, folks, I think that is the end game. I think they want every church in America to shut down. I think that's where we're going with this. And I believe that every church in California has a constitutional obligation. They have a responsibility as freedom-loving patriots. It doesn't matter if you're a Christian or Jewish, get out there, open up the synagogues, open up the churches, and defy this governor. Every single person of faith in California must defy their governor. That's the proper response here. No hemming around, no hawing, no hemming and hawing. Get out there, take a stand, defy your government leaders. You've got the Constitution on your side. You've got the president on your side. You've got this radio show on your side. What say you, ladies and gentlemen? 844-747-8868, toll-free number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show.
You're listening to Todd Starnes.
Caleb and Avery, guess what I have just finished? The taxes are done.
Oh.
No, not Braveheart. The taxes are done.
Well, I mean, he does say freedom. He screams freedom at the end of that movie, so.
That's true. Actually, I don't feel all that free after looking at my taxes, to be perfectly honest with you. It is tax day, folks, so don't forget to got to get your taxes in and got to pay what you owe. Got to pay the government. By the way, is that I'll have to go back on the page here. Avery, is that a symptom of whiteness, paying your taxes? Is that on their list?
I don't think so.
Is eating a healthy diet and exercising regularly also
Hold on. That is mentioned. Where is that? Folks, welcome back to the show. We're talking about this pamphlet that's been produced by the National Museum of African American History, and they're warning people about white people and signs that you might be, I don't know, might be going white. I don't know. Here we go. Aesthetics. Steak and potatoes. Bland is best.
I mean, have you ever had steak and a baked potato? I mean, you can't get much better than that. So
that is true. And especially like the Cajun. Have you had the Cajun ribeye?
I can't. No, I don't think so.
So there's a great steakhouse in Memphis, Tennessee. If you guys are ever here in Memphis traveling, go by the Butcher Shop. And I believe it's actually owned by conservatives, too. That's even better.
Oh.
Most business owners are conservative. It's been my observation.
I imagine Butcher Shop's probably even more so.
Anyway, it's amazing food located right there at the Ag Center in Memphis. Called the Chop House, or the Butcher Shop, rather, the Butcher Shop, and they have a great Cajun ribeye. And that is spicy, so it's not, contrary to what they're saying, bland is best. Steak and potatoes, they don't have to be bland.
Yeah,
that's
get
true.
A nice, good rub on there.
You take that baked potato, you get it loaded with the cheese and the bacon and the sour cream and all that stuff.
That's good eating right there.
That is very good.
Yes.
Can't beat that. So look, folks, all that to say, there's a lot of crazy in America right now. And I am concerned about what kind of an impact this is going to have on our kids. Because something's going on here. And I'm not sure what this country is going to look like in 10 years. I don't know what it's going to look like 5 years from now. But if we're still teaching kids that people being born white are bad, are evil, are privileged, we've got to have a conversation about that. And we're going to do it on this radio program. And we're going to have a little bit of fun doing it, but we're not going to shy away from the issues. They can call me whatever they want to, and they have. That doesn't mean we're not going to, you know, we're not going to be scared away from talking about these issues. I believe in a country where all men are created equal. I believe in a country where people are not judged by the color of their skin. And we've got to stand up for that. That ought to mean something here in the United States of America. By the way, Earl writes in on our Facebook live stream, Todd, you are correct. The objective is to close all the Christian churches. They know this must be done because it's the members of these churches that will fight back when they try to take over our representative republic. Bill writes in, talk, talk, talk. I want to see activity. I do too, Bill. I do too. And Jory says, the pastor sounds like he's awake, not woke, LOL. Well, that's a very fair assumption, a very fair statement. So look, you know, I promised we were going to get to the Nick Cannon audio. We're going to have to save that for tomorrow. But a lot of people are celebrating because Nick Cannon is now unemployed. He has been fired, let go because of the comments he made during a podcast about white people and Jews, which were absolutely horrific and inexcusable. But can I just say something here? There are similar things, similar hateful things that are said in a lot of other settings, music, movies, TV shows, cable television. Should all of those people suffer the same fate as Nick Cannon? I'm going to give my response to this tomorrow because we do need to have a conversation about cancel culture. My concern here is that the conservatives, you cannot jump into the cancel culture either. Should there be a price to pay for saying something like this? Absolutely. Nick Cannon's employer had every right to do what they did. No doubt about it. If Viacom CBS has rules and regulations governing their behavior, then so be it. You know, we've got about 30 seconds here. Real quick, Avery, new podcast out. What's on this week's edition of the podcast?
Oh, yeah. We talked about a lot of stuff on this week's episode of the Informative Nerd Burrito podcast. One of the main things that we talked about was that we introduced a new segment where we're talking about new things that are coming out. And so Tron 3, that classic 80s movie, Tron 3 is actually coming out. So that's one of the biggest things we talked about.
The link to the podcast available in the live show blog. It's a lot of fun. It's a great, great podcast. Got to check that out. Folks, we got to scoot out of here. Hey, look, be safe. Get your taxes done. Drink some iced tea and crank up that air conditioning. This is the Todd Starnes Show.